Chapter 32, Hypnotism. And so, Beelzebub continued, during this sixth and last sojourn of mine on the surface of the planet Earth, I decided to settle there for a long stay and to become a professional physician. And I did indeed become one, only not such as most of them are. I chose instead the profession of what they call physician hypnotist. I became one of those professionals in the first place because in recent centuries they are the only ones on that planet who have access to all the classes or castes I spoke of. And since they inspire great confidence and possess authority, they evoke in ordinary beings a sincerity that enables these professionals to penetrate, as he said, the inner world. And second, I chose this profession in order to have the possibility, while attaining my personal aim, of giving genuine medical assistance to some of those unfortunates. Indeed, my boy, during recent times, among all the beings of whatever class on all the continents of that planet, there has been and there still is a great need for such physicians. I may say that I already had a wide experience in this specialty, since during my previous elucidations of certain subtleties of the psyche of the individual favorites of yours, I had had recourse many times to the methods used there by this kind of physician. I must tell you that formerly, your favorites, as well as all the other three-brain beings of the universe, did not possess the psychic property that permits them to be brought into what is called the hypnotic state. To fall into that state became inherent in your favorites, owing to certain combinations of their psyche arising from the disharmony of the functioning of their common presence. This strange psychic property appeared soon after the destruction of Atlantis and became fixed in the presence of every one of them from the time when their zoostata, that is, the functioning of their being consciousness, was divided and gradually formed two entirely different consciousnesses in them, having nothing in common with each other, the first of which they called simply consciousness, and the second, when they finally noticed it in themselves, the subconscious. If you try to represent clearly to yourself and to transmute in the corresponding parts of your common presence what I am about to explain, you will perhaps understand almost half of all the reasons why the psyche of your favorites breeding on the planet Earth has finally become such a unique phenomenon. This psychic peculiarity of falling into the hypnotic state is, as I have just said, inherent only in the three-brain beings of this planet of yours, and one can therefore say that if they did not exist, then in the whole of our great universe there would not exist even a being notion of hypnotism. Before explaining more about all this, it is appropriate to emphasize that although during the last 20 centuries almost the entire ordinary waking existence of most of the three-brain beings who have taken your fancy, particularly of the contemporary ones, has proceeded under the influence of this property of theirs, they gave the name of hypnotic state only to that state during which the process of this peculiar property flows in them at an accelerated rate and produces concentrated results. And they fail to notice, or as they would say, they are not struck by, the incongruous results of this inherency, recently fixed in the ordinary process of their existence, because, on the one hand, in the absence of normal self-perfecting, they lack what is called a wide horizon, and, on the other hand, arising and existing according to the principle of Itoklenots, it has become proper to them to forget very quickly what they perceive. But when the results of this inherency are obtained through accelerated concentration, all incongruous manifestations, their own and those of others, become so real that they are strikingly obvious and unavoidably perceptible, even to their bobtailed reason. And if certain of them should by chance notice something illogical in their own manifestations, or those of another, then, not having the knowledge of the law of type, they ascribe it to the traits of character of the given being. This abnormal property of their psyche was first observed by the learned beings of the city of Gobe in the country of Merylplacy, and they even made it the basis for a serious and detailed branch of their science, which spread over the whole planet under the name of the science of non-responsible manifestations of personality. But later, when the turn of their periodic process of reciprocal destruction came round again, this important branch of their science, which was still comparatively normal, began gradually to be forgotten, like all their good attainments, and finally, it also entirely disappeared. And it was only many centuries later that this branch of science showed signs of reviving, thanks to the fact that at this period, most of the learned beings had already become learned beings of new format. They sat upon this revival so hard that before the poor thing had time to develop, it soon found its way onto the common rubbish heap. And this happened in the following manner. A learned being named Mesmer, by birth from the country called Austria-Hungary, and modest, unlike his contemporaries, once happened to notice clearly in the course of certain of his experiencings the real duality of consciousness in beings like himself. He was greatly impressed by this, and devoted himself entirely to this question, which interested him. Continuing to observe and to study, he almost succeeded in understanding it. But later, when he began making practical experiments to clear up certain details, well, it was then that there was manifested toward him a particularity proper to the learned beings of new formation there. This particularity of the terrestrial learned beings of new formation is called pecking to death. As this honest Austro-Hungarian learned being conducted his experiments not as all the learned scientists of new formation had become mechanized to do, he was, as is the custom there, meticulously pecked to death. And this process of the pecking to death of poor Mesmer was so effective that for nearly two centuries it has continued from generation to generation among the learned beings of the earth. For instance, all the books now dealing with the question of hypnotism, and there are thousands of them, always begin by saying that this Mesmer was neither more nor less than a rogue with an itching palm, and a charlatan of the first water, but that our honest and great learned beings soon saw through him and prevented him from doing serious mischief. The more the contemporary learned beings of this peculiar planet are idiots squared, the more they criticize Mesmer and say or write every possible kind of absurdity to discredit him. And in doing this, they criticize just that honest and humble learned being of their planet who, if he had not been pecked to death, would have revived the only science which is absolutely necessary for them and by means of which alone they might perhaps be saved from the consequences of the properties of the organ Kundebuffer. There's no harm in noting here that just before I left that planet forever, precisely the same thing as had occurred to this Mesmer was being repeated there. On this occasion, the victim was an honest and humble learned being belonging to the community of France, who, after persistent and conscientious labors, came across the possibility of curing that terrible disease, so widely spread in recent times that it now exists on a general planetary scale. This terrible disease is called cancer. As this Frenchman also made practical experiments for elucidating the details of his discovery, not in the customary way, other contemporary scientists thereupon manifested toward him that same particularity of pecking to death. Possibly now, my boy, there begin to be crystallized in your presence data for engendering an unshakable conviction that thanks to the learned beings of new formation, in whom this particularity has been implanted, of not failing to peck to death every colleague of theirs who does not conform to what has been established by the abnormal conditions of ordinary being existence, what is called the sacred Ankawano, upon which, among other things, the very saintly Ashiad Ashiamash also counted, no longer proceeds in the presence of the three-brained beings of this ill-fated planet. I chanced to learn about this essence-loving hope of his during my investigations of his very saintly activities there. Perhaps, my boy, you still do not know about the cosmic process of the sacred Ankawano. The sacred Ankawano is the name given to the process of perfecting objective reason in three-centered beings, which takes place by itself simply from the flow of time. As a rule, on all the planets of our great universe, where three-brained beings breed, the perfecting of objective reason can proceed only from personal, conscious labors and intentional suffering. This sacred Ankawano can take place only on those planets on which all cosmic truths have become known to all the beings there. And all cosmic truths become known to everyone on these planets because those beings who by their conscious efforts learn some truth or other, share it with others, and in this way, little by little, all the cosmic truths become known to all the beings of that planet, whatever may be their striving for self-perfecting. Thanks to this sacred process, intentionally actualized by our all-foreseeing, common, endless Father, in the three-brained beings of these planets, it has been foreseen that during the action in their presence of the fundamental holy cosmic law of Triamazikamno, the excess of its third holy force, namely the holy reconciling, obtained during the assimilation of cosmic truths of that order, should by itself crystallize in them the data for engendering that something which is called ego aetiorasian, being will.